You're one microscopic cog in his catastrophic plan, designed and directed by his red right hand.
You're listening to The Morgue, also known as the Screamcast, a slasher podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Olga, and today we're discussing MTV Scream Season 2, Episode 9, entitled The Orphanage.
Another film that we haven't seen. So we're talking about maybe when the season's over, going through and doing podcasts on some of these episode titles, because that would be cool.
Yeah.
Because especially you seemed interested in, because of the Spanish language, helped produced by Guillermo del Toro, right?
Yeah. I've heard him talk a lot about it and how he's, like, really proud of it, and I'm just kind of a fan of his work in general.
Yeah.
So, this one I definitely want to see.
Yeah.
Don't think I'm pretentious, because I'm like, I will only watch the foreign horror films.
Well, you wanted to watch the American Let Me In last week, so it's okay.
There we go. I'm not a pretentious person.
Sure. All right, so spoilers on episode 9. Obviously, this is a little different for us. We've been doing the two episodes at a time. We're trying to, now that our schedules have calmed down a little bit, we're trying to get back on track and be faster with this. I'm not going to promise this will always happen, but this is our hope now that we can do once a week, and they're probably a little bit shorter because of that, because we're just doing one episode.
Yeah. And because of that, we also have less time to receive feedback.
Yeah,
because we want to get them out as soon as possible.
Yeah. All right, so first thing I want to just mention before we really dive into things, no Eli this week. Do you want to read the tweet we got about this?
Right, so from at Daniqua and Fry, who also informed us that we're not pronouncing her name correctly, but we don't know how to pronounce it correctly because you didn't include that bit. So,
We're trying.
Do you think Eli not being in the episode is supposed to make us think he's the killer?
I think that might be like a fringe benefit. That's what I would say. Because I think that the reason he's not in the episode is just for sort of money reasons, actor contracts, that he's not contracted for every episode, that he wasn't necessarily necessary for the story of this episode.
He really wasn't.
Yeah, and that it's just like a sort of a fringe benefit that, oh, is it suspicious that he wasn't? Like, we don't know where he was this week, you know, but
can I be honest?
Yeah.
Kind of forgot about his existence.
I didn't really think about it either. I wasn't like, where is Eli?
I did not remember his character until I saw this tweet after watching the episode. And being like, right, Eli's a guy.
He does things. He Goldilockses.
He's just, I don't know, with an episode as good as this, because I really liked it.
Yeah.
I was like, this is what we need. Like, this is what we should be seeing. This is trimmed down.
Yeah.
Good, streamlined story, action, everything.
Yeah. The other thing I just wanted to mention, just sort of as a side comment before we dive into our grading, is I enjoyed Kieran's repeated, Focus Foster, come on, Noah, focus.
Noah. No, it wasn't even, like, that many lines. It was just, like, Noah, focus.
Yeah, that was funny.
I really, like, the first time it's like, yeah, he needs the reminder. And then the second time it happened, I was like, this is now Kieran's, like, a thing, I am happy with that.
All right, so you said you liked the episode. How would you grade it?
I think this is the one that, for me, I had the least gripes about.
Yeah.
Like, least amount of stupidity on their part. Was really mysterious, added a lot to the murder mystery.
Yeah, good production values.
So much good editing in this, too. Yeah. I'm going to give it an A.
Nice. I'm thinking A minus, because I just think they still have a lot of room to grow, but this was definitely a very strong episode. And I feel like especially the last three or so episodes, I've been feeling like, okay, I feel like you could re-edit this season into a solid movie. You know, like there are enough pieces of it where I was like, oh, like, this scene would have been good in a Scream 5. Like, you know, like, and it's really, yeah, there's a lot of really good stuff. I love a lot of the character interactions this episode. There's not as many what the hell, what's going on moments.
Yeah.
But there's plenty, the intrigue about who the killers are is really growing as it gets more and more confusing, unless they're just telling us it's Stavo and it is Stavo, and then that would be upsetting. But
also, I would say some of the best performances in this episode.
Yeah.
Emma was not anywhere close to as annoying as she.
Yeah, actually, honestly, Emma and Kieran, Emma and Kieran kind of being on the same side made them both more bearable.
Yeah.
Which was interesting.
Instead of, like, both being moody and melodramatic towards each other.
Yeah.
This was refreshing.
Yeah.
Yeah, overall, just really, really happy with it. Yeah.
Also, just a heads up, guys, there is construction going on next door to me. I don't know how much of that will be picked up by the microphone. Hopefully not that much.
We really can't find a quiet space anywhere in any of our neighborhoods. Before we were recording last time, we waited, like, what, 10 minutes for a leaf blower to stop?
A very obnoxious
leaf blower.
All right, so let's get into the characters. So we have... put together Audrey, Noah, and Zoe as our first clump here.
Cluster
of clumps. So everybody hates Audrey now because it's... So that's interesting. I wasn't necessarily expecting it to be like everybody has issues with Audrey. I actually really... I liked how Kieran reacted and that Kieran seemed legitimately pissed about both her and Noah. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
I think that Emma did a really great job here. I loved her pushing Audrey. That was actually really nice. It felt visceral. It felt angry. Like, sometimes when they have things like this, it's like you think it's more badass than it is, but it actually, I felt like the way they staged it and everything.
It was timed perfectly in the climax of their argument.
Yeah.
It was good punctuation to it.
Yeah.
I like the fact that everyone was angry at Audrey.
Yeah.
Made sense.
Yeah.
You know, I would say that for me, the only thing that I have to criticize about it is so much was said in this confrontation.
Yeah.
That it's unclear what was said when Audrey showed up at Emma's room as Emma was listening to the
recording.
Yeah,
that was a weird decision to just cut that part there. Because you would have assumed you'd start off right where you left off, you know?
I think I would have preferred that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, having it, again, contribute to adding to Emma's anger issues in front of a crowd and
also,
just like it being public and everyone being there from their group.
Legitimately angry Emma is so much better than whiny Emma.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is what I feel like he's been for a lot of the show.
Yeah.
So I was definitely a fan of that. And I like that he pointed out that, you know, he said he thinks that, you know, you knew it was Piper the whole time, but you just didn't want the blame to be put on you for bringing her here. And that is a more legitimate thing to be pissed off at Audrey about than just, oh, you didn't say anything, you know. Like,
yeah, yeah. You
know. So I think that was pretty
and
solid.
I think that's where the guilt that Audrey really feels lies.
Yeah, like he had sort of convinced herself that it couldn't be Piper, but she knew it was Piper.
Yeah, the whole time.
Yeah. I still wish he had done a little bit more, but whatever. I like Audrey.
Move on, man. That's what we're going to get.
So Audrey blames Zoe for Emma getting the file, and she gets pissed at Noah for recording in the first place and for keeping it.
Mm-hmm.
So Noah ends up tracking the file and finds that both that Zoe had sent it to herself and that the file that Emma got was sent from Zoe's email address. Originally, like, through the secret friend network, I don't know.
Yeah. That's a new movie that's coming out with Jesse Eisenberg. Secret friend network. I like that confrontation, too. A lot of things came to head, obviously.
This was a really good... So this was one of the reasons this episode is definitely one of the best, and I understand the A that you gave it, is because it is... that we do like these characters now, and there's legitimate conflict between the characters that we like, and it's understandable from both points of view.
Yeah, it's not just melodrama, like for the sake of melodrama, it makes sense. It's built in with what's been happening, pretty much.
And, like, this scene, like, as much as I didn't love, like, sort of the idea of this weird love triangle type plot they made with Audrey, Noah, and Zoe, this was a very good use of it, where it didn't feel cheap, it didn't feel whiny or over teen soapy. It felt like a legitimate argument.
Yeah. The only thing that kind of undermines how much I like it, where it was melodrama, was the fact that Noah's like, I did have feel like I kind of have a crush on you. Like, to Audrey... That to me,
I mean, I was talking about this scene.
No, that's what I mean. Like in this episode, it's good, but the arc of how we got here, it would have been so much stronger if not for that explicit statement in my mind.
Yeah, I get that. So Zoe says that she took it because she's such a fan of the morgue and she was so curious. which is, it's an interesting thing. I mean, like, Noah believes her. Noah believes that she didn't actually send it to Emma.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sort of goes off on Audrey, you know, and he goes, finding, like, who to blame about sending it isn't the right thing to do here. You know, it's not going to make Emma more happy with you. You didn't tell her, and these are the consequences. Go and deal with that rather than being pissed at other people.
Yeah.
So that was a great moment for
him. Noah's not wrong.
Yeah.
I agree with him.
Was it a slight bit harsh? Maybe. But she has been self-righteous for a lot of this season. Mm-hmm. And she needs to have some stuff thrown in her face.
Yeah, and if anyone's going to do it and have her listen, it would be Noah.
Yeah,
My only kind of, not my only, but the issue I have here, just going back a second, is where how Zoe says she took it because she's a fan of the morgue.
Yeah.
And I believed her in the sense that I believe that she wasn't the one who knowingly sent it to Emma.
Yeah.
But then I thought, so the killer hacked Zoe.
Yeah.
And even then they undermined that expectation later. Nicely.
Yeah.
But it was just something about her performance where she's been so good and so consistent.
Yeah.
Where I feel like...
Her weirdness and her performance.
Was intentional. Exactly. It was intentional. And that transitions to when they finally have sex.
Yeah.
And it makes sense also why they have sex. And, like, he stood up against Audrey. He proved that he is loyal to... He stood up for Zoe.
Yeah.
That's why she was able to go through with it. But at the same time, I cannot fully take her off of my list of suspects.
See... for me, so I'll never fully take almost anybody completely off my list, but to me, I am less suspicious of her after this episode as far as being the killer. I still think that there is a high probability that he did send the file to Emma and that he is more insidiously jealous and petty than she's letting on.
Okay.
That he did see that call from Audrey that did stop her from having sex. She is incredibly jealous, and she thought this would be a way to get Audrey in more trouble or to get Audrey out of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And that then, so that especially, that this insidious jealousy, so especially when Noah, you know, protected her against Audrey on her behalf, that would be what let her have sex with him, because she was like, oh yes, now I finally don't have to be jealous anymore. He's really picking me.
Right.
I
see it as more of a potential. I can't say that she's not a killer.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like the jealousy is supposed, like, she's been driving up her feelings of jealousy, maybe on purpose. The way I see it is potentially, like, she wanted to get them to a point where they would have an explosive fight and she could isolate him away.
Yeah.
Or isolate Audrey away from everybody and then do something more sinister than just get Noah romantically all to herself.
Yeah.
I feel like both are very plausible. I totally see why you're kind of moving away from that.
Yeah, I don't think he's a killer at all. I personally hope that he is, yes, he's being sort of insidiously jealous here, and that comes out, and that causes a big fight, but I personally hope they're able to get through it, and that this is just a nice ship. Because honestly, it's the only one we really have.
I know.
And so if it doesn't work out, I'm going to be kind of like...
I don't trust the niceness, though.
Yeah, like, I know, I get that, for sure, but I feel like we kind of need it. Well, it's hard to even know, because we don't even think we're probably going to get a season 3, so...
Probably not. You
know, who knows?
Yeah.
But...
Gosh darn.
All right, shall we move on?
What a divisive issue.
Let's talk about the sex itself.
What?
the sort of the sex scene, I thought, and sort of him pulling down the virgin.
Oh, the virgin poster. Stabbing poster. Yeah. I love that.
I also just thought it was kind of awkward, the sex scene.
How do you mean?
It felt a little bit, I don't know if it was the music or just the fact that they were like suddenly on like every different place in the room.
That was not my favorite part of it. It was just, like, funny.
I felt like they were going for something and it didn't super work, but good for Noah having sex. But, It kind of reminded me of, like, the awkwardness of the condom thing, condom buying from last week.
Oh, yeah. Like, look at the comedy we're doing.
It just felt weird. It's like, they're just, why are you on the floor? There's a bed right there.
There's a bed right there, believe me.
Why are you knocking everything off of, like, your bureau so you
including
can be on
the murderous bookend?
That you said was, like, super expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just couldn't wait to rip into each other.
So then Noah figures out that the killer has been bugging him, like, all along, and that he was using, that there was a bug in the camera that Noah took from the storage container place. Which, so, good on Noah for figuring that out.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that was sort of interesting there is, so that explains some of what things that the killer knows, but it also is sort of strange in that he goes, so that's how he knew about the file. And I was like, well,
no.
What? That's a weird decision, because wouldn't he just have his own recording of this?
But no, actually, wait a second. It does add back to him making Zoe look suspicious, because Zoe was the one who was traced to have the file sent.
Yeah, but you have to steal the file from Noah's computer? Why can't you use your own recording as the killer and then make it look like it's from Zoe?
Because he's already a hacker. The killer's already a hacker.
Exactly. So you
it's already easy. In a way, I feel like it would be easier to hack Zoe and send it from Zoe, therefore incriminating Zoe as the secret friend.
But here's the thing that I don't understand. Even if you have an audio bug on that camera, how do you know that Zoe got the file? She didn't go, let me look at this.
Didn't she?
Didn't
she play it?
I guess if she played it,
she did play it.
Okay. All right. That makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
All right. But especially because he wasn't able to hack into Noah's place, so he didn't know that she sent it to herself or anything. Like, so I don't know.
Then once he found out about Zoe and Noah's relationship, he immediately just hacked Zoe.
Yeah, unless it's just all Zoe.
Unless it's all Zoe, or something. I don't know.
Because, I mean, the killer had been bugging Noah before Zoe started coming into Noah's room.
Right.
So it still could be Zoe.
Goodness gracious. We don't know.
So now Noah's not a virgin. He says, the killer says that he's going to kill Noah.
You know, that was great.
Calling out the trope very directly. The thing I think is funny about this.
He says it to Audrey.
The thing that I think is funny about this, I did enjoy that, but it's funny, like, because I had also talked about, as soon as Noah has sex, he can die, which... Yes, that is the trope, but also, like, everybody else in this show has also had sex.
Yeah.
So it seems, like, a little funny to be like, now he can die. Well, now everybody else could have already died. So, I don't know. It's also, I assume Audrey's had sex, but we don't, the fact that she sort of jokes about Noah being a virgin all the time would imply that she isn't a virgin.
Right.
But we also, had she had sex with a guy? Did she have sex with Rachel? Because it didn't seem like they were necessarily
that hot and heavy.
So,
I think they were taking it slow.
Yeah, so I don't know. But...
That's definitely...
That's an interesting point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say that the reason... Just going back to what you were saying about, nobody is a virgin except Noah.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that now he loses his virginity in the time period of, the murders.
Yeah.
So that's what makes him the now obvious non-virgin target. Yeah.
So sort of jumping ahead, the last bullet point they had for Zoe and Noah was that when they're at the party, they go to turn off the power, so turn off the lights so that everybody will leave the party. Which I thought was everybody there thought was a great idea, and I thought was a terrible idea.
Well, everyone has flashlights on their phones now, so it's not like it would be pitch black.
Yeah, but still, it's like, let's turn off all the lights when we think a killer might be here. This is very intelligent of us.
My whole thing was don't split up.
Yeah.
Never split up, they're two
nobody,
and two.
Yeah, nobody was alone.
I don't care.
All right, so...
Form a clump and link arms and move in a circle.
Well, our next clump is Emma, Kieran, and Mrs. Lang. So,
Miss Lang or Mrs. Lang?
Miss Lang.
Miss Lang, yeah.
So Emma opens the episode with her murder dream. She's killing everybody, which I thought, especially between that and then her anger with Audrey, I was like, okay, so are they trying to make us think that she's the killer again? But then, by the end of the episode, it's like, well, she can't unless she has an accomplice.
Well, I thought this was a more skillful way of showing her, like, PTSD or her, like, residual anguish.
It was one of the better dream, because remember we started the whole season with, like, her dream sequence thing.
Yeah.
And this was definitely a more interesting one.
I like this one, where her mom actually finds her holding a knife.
Yeah.
And it's not the same knife. Like, I like that, too, where where the knife in her dream was, like, the serrated blade that the killer uses.
Yeah.
Whereas in real life, it was just, like, a kitchen knife.
Yeah.
So that was nice.
So, yeah, I thought that was a nice way to open it up. I am interested. I mean, part of me still hopes that he could be one of the killers and maybe somebody's helping her. But I feel like by the end of this episode, we basically have it confirmed that at least a killer is male.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Or
do we?
Well, I guess we don't, actually. I was assuming it was a blowjob that Haley was going to give him. But
not necessarily.
Maybe, yeah, that's a good point. What if she was with Emma?
That makes no sense. Why would she?
Well, no, she couldn't be because I ended up with Audrey.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Also, just in general of her talk with Emma, of like, so you decided to show up.
Yeah. Didn't Audrey, I can't remember what Haley had been texting with someone a few episodes back when Audrey sort of confronted her.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he called it a boyfriend. So
maybe?
I'm not positive on that, but I thought he did.
What a twist.
Okay, so Emma gets a tape from Miss Lang, from the killer in her locker.
That's definitely Miss Lang's hair.
It seems like it, yeah.
It's like dark brown. And
yeah.
The killer had time to rip out that much of Miss Lang's hair, but not enough time to go slashy slashy on the janitor.
Maybe he broke into her house and took it from her hairbrush.
That much hair? If you have that much hair on your hairbrush, get a new hairbrush.
So they have this tape, and on the tape, it's sort of the beginning that we never heard, of what Miss Lang said before the killer came. She's talking about how Emma is unstable and violent, that she feels like, Miss Lang feels like she's a target for Emma's paranoia now, but she still needs, but he needs her.
Not still
yeah,
needs
she
her.
Needs her.
Needs her.
So that's interesting.
There's a difference.
Yeah. So it does seem more investigative. It might, you know, it seems like she was investigating something and that she needs Emma's perspective, but she's frightened of her.
Well, the way I see it is, since Miss Lang and Piper grew up together in this orphanage, a thing that could be happening, since I don't suspect Miss Lang as, like, a killer, is that she doesn't believe that Piper actually did all those things, and that Emma was already, like, having crazed delusions and things
like that.
That's
interesting that she could think that Emma, I mean, she thinks Emma and
Audrey
are the killers.
Are the killers, or it was definitely Emma and someone else, and that's why she's interviewing all these people to figure out who could be Emma's accomplice.
That could be really cool.
To try to, like, clear Piper's name.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
Especially because we see that, like, he's really scared of Piper. I mean, she's really scared of Emma and the hospital scene. That's a good point, because I went from a totally different direction. Before I saw the hospital scene, when I first heard this tape recording, I was like, is it possible that Lang was Piper's accomplice back in season one? And that not maybe she's not the killer now, maybe it's a different killer now, but that Lang had helped her. But I like your thing. Like, she thinks that Emma might have been the killer all along, and she wants to get blame off of her friend.
That's how I'm leaning.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that. Okay, so Lang gets daisies in the mail from the killer.
Good timing on the flower delivery, man. He shows up right when Kieran and Emma are leaving. On purpose?
And so then Kieran steals her keys and they break into her house. They find out he grew up as friends with Piper in the orphanage.
That was a former asylum and then a foster home where abuse took place in the attic. Bad juju. There's some bad juju there.
Oh, man. All right. So now we're going to talk about the party / Haley. So everybody goes to the orphanage. Before they even figure out that there's a party there, I have to talk about how stupid this is. Because what happened to we trust the cops? When you find out that Miss Lang had a connection to Piper. That, and then you figure out that there's an orphanage that you need to investigate, you tell the cops about it.
Immediately. You hand in the tape and the hair is evidence.
Yeah. And I guess you could say that they broke into Miss Lang's house.
Oh, they wouldn't get into trouble for that. Yeah. No one gets arrested for anything these days.
Yeah, and even if that was the case, like, why wouldn't you... First, why wouldn't you say after the tape, why wouldn't you just have the cops look into her house? You know, it's just a lot of convenience for the sake of we want our main characters to be doing these things.
Right, and that's where you just have to take it at face value that, like, they will never fully trust the police.
Yeah.
Like, they can't because that means they do nothing. They sit on the couch at home drinking tea.
Yeah.
And watching TV. Like, I don't know.
I just, it's harder for me to accept in this season because Acosta actually seems legitimate and useful and not like a bumbling idiot. And also that Kieran was so pro, let's go to the cops with everything. That the fact that he doesn't even bring up, like, it'd be one thing if he brought up, maybe now we should go to the cops and have them look at the orphanage, and then Emma was like, well, we broke in, then at least that would be something.
At least it would be something.
That's
a pretty good gap in logic, but it's just one of those things where I have to, it's fine to bring it up, but I just, like, immediately end up looking past it.
So I liked that the party was supposed to be, like, because when I first saw the party, I was like, come on, this is bullshit, like, this town is not the town from Scream, you know, it isn't the super callous people, you know, I don't believe they'd be having this party where they all wear masks.
To celebrate the deaths.
So I liked that it was supposed to be, like, a take back the night, like, we're gonna reclaim it idea, because that I can buy, especially with people of that generation.
Yeah.
And especially if it's supposedly run by Emma and Audrey, which I thought was a nice twist, too. Really nice visuals of the party. I thought it looked cool.
Definitely.
Good cinematography, good use of extras, good lighting.
Unrealistic standards for what teenagers get up to.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, so then Emma confronts Haley.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why'd you do this? And she's like, well, I just helped out. It was my
special friend.
I'd say Haley was probably her least annoying in this scene that she's ever been.
Yeah. Olga, you're my special friend.
Aw, you're my special friend.
Please don't kill me.
Same here.
So she tries to give her special friend a blowjob, question mark? Maybe not a blowjob.
Yeah. So here's the thing. You thought that the person entering the room could have been anyone and we're just adjusting the mask. But to be clear, whoever entered the room in the Brandon James costume, their mask was up.
Yeah.
And as Haley goes up, like, I'm getting the silent treatment, you know.
Then he pulls it
down. And then
he
or she pulls it down, and that's when she gets on her knees.
Yeah.
And the knife is brandished. Yeah. To be clear, Haley knows who
this person
is.
She might not have known that they had killed before.
Yes.
We don't know.
We don't know if they've killed before, technically.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So before we get into the killing and all that stuff, which I will say, really, really great slasher scene here.
Yes, finally.
Yeah, for real. Jeez. Really, this is what we've been asking for.
Since we first saw Haley.
But let's talk about whether, because there's the whole hint at the end of the episode where it leaves us with Stavo talking about special friends, and she talked about special friends, and obviously it wants you to think, again, for the billionth time, is Stavo the killer, which we can get into more maybe later, but do you think that this scene and that Haley's boyfriend could be Stavo?
Could be Stavo. Could it be Stavo? Yes.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Yeah, I mean, like, because he was at the party, and, like, I don't know if maybe he's, like, a side killer, you know? He isn't the killer. Like, because I think that if he was a side killer, then it wouldn't necessarily be as anticlimactic, that he's the reveal of the killer, if he's not, like, the main killer. Because I could sort of understand him, like, setting up this party and him, like, thinking that the idea was creepy or something. Like, I don't know.
My issue goes more with the idea of, like, well, Stavo's as much an expert on slasher movies as Noah. He would know about the dangers of throwing a party like this.
But maybe he's not scared of the killer.
But that's the thing. If he's not scared of the killer, that would be, like, that's something I accept at face value.
Yeah.
He's just not scared of the killer.
Yeah.
And then it's more of like, is he not scared of the killer because he's involved in it and that he wants to play on this fear and get rid of Haley as more of a defense of the group that he now feels a part of, that he's been following and drawing and fascinated with what's been going on.
Well, I also feel like him as the artist, as the storyteller, comic book creator, setting the stage of the big party where everyone's wearing these masks and the big gruesome thing happens.
Yeah.
That like seems somewhat in tone with what he is. Now, I don't know if I don't know. It's the problem with that is I don't think that he's the one who set up Piper's body.
Yeah.
And so I feel like the person who set up Piper's body is probably the person who killed Haley.
Probably.
You know, so I don't know.
There's just like so many coincidences. Another thing though, that poster, this might be a little much, but like the poster of like Audrey, Emma and Audrey's like fear, whatever the name of the thing is, like
the party.
The party, no, but there was a name for it, that like the banner that Haley was hanging under.
Face the Mask.
Face the Mask, yeah. The Face the Mask party. Well, that requires some graphic design, so too much.
That's a point. That's like somewhat legitimate point, but at the same time, we already know this killer is very good with computers.
Yeah, yeah. So. Well, I mean, we've played so much on like Sheriff Acosta suspecting his son that it would be kind of anticlimactic is if then his son was doing such awful things as what his father is like really afraid
of. I kind of hope Salvo is doing something, and I still hope he's the one who cut off Branson's hand. I feel like him killing Haley like that might be a step too far.
See, that's the thing. Yeah. I'd be fine with him cutting off Branson's hand, especially since he cauterized it, like taking the step of not sure murdering him.
So there's a lot of different parts interweaving here. So it's hard to know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. All I know is the actor who plays Stavo is so good that if there was some sort of confrontation with him, I wouldn't be against that.
It would be a really good scene.
He would just need to be a supplemental thing. It can't be the main reveal is the problem.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the actual murder. Amazing job with the audio editing and the cutting to the party. And just,
in between, it was super frenetic and everything.
Beautiful cinematography. I mean, it's weird to say beautiful in this context, I suppose. I'm sounding like Stavo. But like, as far as like the way the lighting was set up, and it was just like, this was a high production scene. And like, this could have been in Scream 5, I feel like. It didn't feel like
the non-existent Scream 5.
My point, but like there are certain scenes where it's like, oh, I'm watching the TV version, right?
Right.
But this felt like it could have been a movie. Like, and I thought
cinematic.
That was, very cinematic. The one thing I did want to sort of talk about, so as much as I definitely loved this scene, and it was good to finally see a character we hated go away, I did want to talk about the potential, just as far as a question of problematic, as far as how was it over-sexualized, because I remember I've talked about maybe mostly in season one, because we haven't had any female deaths in season two. I thought especially like when I'm in the Nina death scene that I felt like it was maybe a little bit over-sexualized in the way that you combine sex and murder, and that it's a little seemingly problematic. But this scene was very focused on like her breasts very specifically.
Yeah.
And like, I felt like obviously her breasts are almost always out. That's who the character is.
So that's the thing. Like, that's just how they've been dressing her. Like, usually she's wearing something low cut.
Yeah.
And like a push-up bra or something like that. Yeah. And that's a very fascinating thing, because at the same time, like, even though they dress her femininely, they don't, I wouldn't say that she dresses like provocatively. You know?
It's like on the cusp. You know,
like, I don't know. Yeah. I would see that as like a very like teenage high school way of dressing. That said, And another, like, when she's being killed, like, that's where her exposed skin is.
It's just something about, and that's why I'm not like, calling you guys are doing something terrible here.
Right.
It's more of, I wanted to point it out as far as, I did feel like the shots were very tight in that area. The blood was all over her breasts, very specifically.
Yeah.
He could have slit her throat. He could have stabbed her in the stomach.
Right.
You know, like,
that's why I don't want to knock it either, saying, like, it wasn't sexualized.
Yeah.
like, we do get multiple shots, like, looking into her shirt, directly into her cleavage. Yeah. So.
Just something to be aware of.
Yeah.
All right, so Emma and Audrey find Piper's body.
After, like, being really pissed off that they have to be put together.
Yeah, okay, that was nice. Definitely cool. Like, this could have been very easily, like, the start of the third act, I feel like, you know, if it was a movie or something.
Oh, I see.
You know,
yeah.
It felt like, okay, we're getting these two people trying to work together who don't really want to be working together, and they're in this crazy orphanage, you know, like,
yeah.
with a party going on. So, yeah, I thought that the reveal of Piper's body, I was not expecting. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I like the
grimy
idea.
Looking.
Yeah. And I like the idea that they sort of are like, well, we're specifically being targeted because we're the ones who killed Piper.
Mm-hmm.
And that adds a layer to why it's Audrey as important as Emma now.
Yes.
Even though it's strange that... So it's interesting in the way the killer is tackling Emma versus tackling Audrey, and that Audrey, he's like manipulating and making paranoid and texting a lot, mm-hmm. but not showing up to scare, and Emma, he is jumping out at and then running away for some reason.
Yeah, it's like they're both at fault. They're both responsible.
Yeah.
Piper's the real innocent here until she met you, kind of thing.
Well, I wonder if maybe the killer's like, well, if I confronted Audrey, she might beat me. Emma's a loser.
That could be. Or like... Because, you know, playing up on Audrey's guilt and, like, that was
psychological
the big part
torment.
Of the premise,
All right, so we're going to talk about the sheriff and Maggie. The most important thing here is that the sheriff tells Maggie about what happened in Phoenix. And it's pretty much what you'd expect. The one wrinkle I thought was interesting was he was saying after my wife died, after Savo's mother died.
Yeah, that's when his fascination kind of took hold, I guess.
And so they... he and Stavo and his friend were playing with his gun, and then his friend accidentally died and got shot in the face. That was, like, particularly, oh my god. And then Stavo was sort of cool as a cucumber, drawing his friend after he called 911.
And the question is, how long did he wait to call 911?
At this point in the episode, I asked, is it possible that Stavo could be a sociopath but not a murderer?
Yes.
I think that would be interesting. I mean, obviously, yes, it's possible. I'm just saying, do we think that that might be where they're going with it? As far as, I think that could be an interesting thing of, everyone's going to suspect him because he is so sort of non-emotional about these things and fascinated on a more of a logical
calculating level.
But he doesn't mean he's going to do them himself. Right. He's just not going to be as affected by them.
And then, so then Brooke throws an interesting twist into that.
Mm-hmm.
Because she is more playing on his, like, emotional side.
Yeah. That's an interesting point. But he's still not, like, seeming that, that emotional about her.
He's still,
like,
distant.
Interested in her.
Yeah.
So, speaking of Stavo and Brooke, we open up with them in bed together. And I thought the shots were sort of interesting with Stavo. In Stavo's shots of his face, he seems closer to Brooke. Then when we see Brooke's face, he seems farther away.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is that a continuity error, or is that just the way the angles worked out, or is that on purpose to show that in Stavo's head, he thinks they're closer than how she thinks they are?
Which could be, considering she's the one pulling away, saying she's not comfortable moving further until she knows who killed Jake.
Yeah. As someone who you weren't a huge fan of this pairing, was this a step too far? Were you happy with how this...
I mean, I know where they were going with that, and by no means am I like, no, they're going to stop. They're not going to move. I'm like, no, I've seen this coming. I still... I want Brooke to be doing more stuff without Stavo.
Yeah.
I just, like, of all the things happening in this episode, this was the least interesting to
me. I would agree with that, but I do think that the next part, so this opening scene, yes, I agree with. I think the other stuff with him finding the stuff about her dad and everything, which we'll get to in a second, I liked that.
Right.
So he investigates, he, like, breaks into his dad's office and investigates what his dad's investigating, and he finds the thing of Jake's texts with Quinn, or is it Quentin? Is it Quinn?
I don't know.
Brooke's dad. Maddox.
Mayor Maddox.
Yeah. And so now I was confused about these texts because it was kind of obvious... it seemingly to Stavo and Brooke
mm-hmm.
that this was from Quinn and that it was about lighting fire to his
development.
But was it not to the sheriff? Because
why isn't he arrested?
Yeah, why wouldn't you arrest or at least question him?
The mayor.
The mayor. Yeah. You know? So that's, I mean, we don't know exactly the nature of their relationship and stuff.
Their meaning.
This, the Mayor Maddox and the sheriff, as mm-hmm. far as there does seem to be some sort of something there. But
the sheriff was appointed by the mayor.
Yeah.
Usually they're elected, right?
Yeah. But and obviously they have a history from childhood, and he brought him up as far as sort of potentially the cover-up with Troy or whatever was happening.
Yeah, something.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know exactly what's going on there, but it did seem weird that they figured it out. Now, I do like that this is a confirmation that the mayor was trying to burn down his development, so we pretty much now know that it was Eli's mom. Eli's mom that set the fire. So this is interesting that because I don't think either of them knew the bodies were there.
No.
And so it was a whole, there's a lot of different moving parts going on.
Just the coincidence of like, and there are bodies in this house, and Eli chooses this house, and this is the house that the mayor hires Eli's mom to burn down.
See, now I think the only coincidence is Eli, because I think that the person who put the bodies there knows about this whole Quinn thing because he attacked Jake when he was about to do it.
I mean, no, that makes sense. It's just like too much.
Yeah.
Too much in one house.
Yeah, it's a lot.
But that's why it's playing with us, you know? Oh, and somewhere in there, Stavo also, like, steals Brooke's lipstick, which I'm assuming is going to be relevant eventually.
I assume it has something to do with his art or something.
Yeah, like, I don't think it's just, like, stalker move, like, it I'm just taking a token from the girl I'll murder.
I think it's just, like, another thing of, is he creepy? Yeah, he definitely is.
Yeah.
So Brooke blames her dad for Jake's death, blah, 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 blah. And so, yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
And we basically end out again with that her having a hotel room, inviting Stavo over, and he talks about, oh, this is how you met your mom met her special friends here, or whatever. And we get the whole, is he the killer, which we've talked about.
Because he said special friend.
And only killers can talk about special friends or secret friends.
So, as I was live tweeting, the Democratic National Convention was going on, and Bill Clinton was speaking apparently at this time, or people were still talking about it. And someone thought that when I said, like, he has a special friend, everyone has a special friend, I was referring to Bill Clinton. I was like, no, TV show.
That's really funny.
Yeah, bad timing on my end.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
All right, so now we're going to get into some feedback. If you want to contact us and let us know your thoughts on the episode, you can do so at thescreamcast@gmail.com. You can check us out on Twitter @ScreamPod and tweet us your thoughts and feelings there. Also, follow my live tweeting of the episodes. Also, check out thescreamcast.wordpress.com that has all of our previous podcast stuff on there. It also has a contact us link. It has a Twitter link, all that jazz. Also, please rate us or review us on iTunes. That would be very helpful. Do you want to read this review?
Yeah. So we got a review from Cosmo10123. Mm-hmm. Great show. One of the best to listen to in regards to MTV's Scream. Only complaint is it's hard to get into when the show is only on once every 3 weeks.
So we're trying to do better.
Sorry. Yeah, that's our bad. Yeah. We definitely wish we were more consistent with our upload schedule so we could be like this day of this week.
This is a side hobby. I have multiple podcasts. We have multiple things going on. So we're doing our best, but
you know. And we're both like doing job stuff and stuff like that. So money over hobbies, y'all.
Yeah. All right. So this first email is from Colin. I am fucking excited. Holy shit, this episode was great. Lang and Piper grew up together. Noah got laid. That bitch Haley finally got slashed. Oh my god, I'm so happy. I enjoyed this episode a lot, to say the least, if you couldn't tell. I'm so happy Haley got slashed, but now I'm curious who her love was. And if I had to take a guess, Stavo? Nah, he seems too obvious. What if it's Brandon James? I mean, as the preview said, he might be back. And while I might have gotten the people wrong, my theory on wanting revenge might pan out. What if Brandon James is back and wants revenge on Lakewood for bringing him back into the limelight? Oh my god, I can't wait for next week, but I swear to God, if Noah gets killed, I'm going to find the killer myself and kill them with my bare hands. As always, love the show. Also, I want to start the hashtag rest in peace by Curious and the Virgin. But at least it was one death in the show that everyone wanted, aside from Haley.
Ha! Ba-dum-tsh.
Nice. All right. Yeah. Cool.
Definitely worried about Noah.
Yeah, we'll see.
I hate watching promos. I accidentally caught it. There's I'm not saying anything, but let's just say Noah might be in danger.
I'll say this. If there isn't a season three, I think killing Noah might be the right choice.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I wouldn't want a season three without Noah.
Without Noah.
But if there isn't going to be a season three, then maybe it's the right call because at this point we've had four deaths and they're doing better. Not going to say there aren't, but three of them have been with people that nobody would feel sad for at all. Like, so, you know, it does feel like time for another sad
high
death.
High stakes sad death.
Yeah.
Which was something that season one gave us.
But I don't know. Would you want, if it was Noah, I don't know if I'd want so set up to be obviously this is coming sort of thing either.
That's the thing. I'm like, that's why I'm like pissed off at the whoever edits up the promos of like, and apparently they revealed a lot in last week's promo for this episode, which fortunately I didn't see. And that's what makes me kind of like, they have a bad track record of showing too much in these promos. Yeah, yeah. So I think, considering we have, like, what, three episodes left, maybe?
Who knows?
Who knows? Three, four.
I feel like it's to the point where the show itself should be, like, three episodes left.
they need to hype it up a little. Yeah. But with that, I'm really going to make an effort to not watch the promos.
Yeah.
And I would, if you are going to be contacting us with promo information, do not tag me in that post on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to see it.
Yeah. All right. Read the next email.
Yeah. So this is from Corey, and it was sent before this episode aired, before episode 9 aired. It says, I know you both have busy schedules, and your time is currently taken up with recording the MTV Scream podcast, but I was just wondering if there will be any other podcasts on the slasher genre, such as other slasher-based films and television shows anytime soon.
All right, let's stop there before we continue with the Zima.
Yeah.
Probably not until the season of MTV Scream is over. Once it's over, I definitely want to do Scream 4.
Scream 4 will probably be the next thing.
Yeah, and then I have a couple other things. I want to do Cabin in the Woods. So we have a couple other things coming down the pipeline after the season's over, but not until that happens.
We're considering doing American Horror Story.
Yeah.
We have done Scream Queens,
which
for season one.
I'm at least gonna walk to the premiere of season two and see what I think. But
so depending on how much we like that, we might go back to Scream Queens for the second season.
Also, if you ever catch up on Dead of Summer, I would do, like, a season review at the end of the season, potentially.
Yeah. Maybe. So, hopefully. Yeah. I want to catch up on that.
You have time. I mean, there's still five more episodes of that season.
Oh,
so.
It's 10 episodes?
Yeah, it's 10 episodes, okay. Yeah. So, you have time before the finale.
So, short answer is yes.
Things will happen. We just don't know what.
Yes.
Or when.
All right. So, continuing reading. I'm loving season two of Scream. In my opinion, it's surpassing season one in quality, though I can admit that this season has a lot of flaws. There are so many things I'm enjoying this season, from the major character development to how they are focusing on using serialized horror as the inspiration behind this season instead of horror movies. Season one's attempts at infusing some meta-horror monologues and breaking the normal cliche conventions fell flat on their face and didn't seem to fit in with the show, as the killings weren't inspired by horror movies like the Scream franchise. But this season, they seem to be incorporating the serialized horror into the plot quite well, and I hope it's not just some throwaway pointless filler that will amount to nothing in the finale.
Yeah. So it's hard for me to, I never have had the chance to rewatch season one since it aired, so a lot of that's foggy for me, but I do feel like, if I looked back, that this probably is overall a stronger season. The characters are more fleshed out. I think Zoe and Gustavo have been great additions.
Yeah.
You know, I do think some of the horror maybe worked a little bit better in season one, but overall, I think this is a pretty solid season so far.
Yeah, I think so too. The one thing that I have to criticize is Season one had more deaths.
Yeah.
It just did.
Well, I don't know if that's true.
Didn't it?
I can't remember, but it had more deaths that are memorable for people we cared about. Because that's the thing, is I felt like...
More high-stakes deaths,
yeah,
it seemed.
We had Will, we had Riley, even, I mean, at the end we had the sheriff. I'm trying to remember.
We just have, like, more randos, I feel.
Yeah, this season.
Well, we had Nina.
It's... Yeah, yeah. But I just feel like...
Rachel.
The problem is that I... Oh, yeah, Rachel. Rachel was a big one, too.
Rachel
that was
a big
that
one.
Was an emotional death, too.
Yeah.
So I think that... I think the biggest difference has been that ever since the premiere, which now feels like so long ago, all the deaths have been of just completely people we don't care about at all.
Yeah.
And not necessarily surprising for because of that, too.
Yeah.
It's like, well, who could they kill off? Well, Haley. Nobody would care about Haley. To, you know, yeah. Like, so.
So who's dead this season? The hotel.
Yeah.
Cleric, Branson, and Haley.
Yeah, and Jake. So Jake,
oh, and
Jake was the
course.
Big surprising
yeah,
one,
yeah.
But it's so... Long
so
ago
long
now.
Ago, yeah.
And the thing is that to me, Jake still feels somewhat equivalent to Nina and Tyler.
Yeah.
Because there were two of them and because of the actress who was playing Nina and because it was sort of setting it off with a bang.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you those two are equivalent and then season one had these big four big emotional deaths, this season has not really kept up with that.
No.
And the reason is because... I feel like they feel like they're more at their core cast and they don't want to sacrifice
anyone.
No,
and I don't blame them.
Yeah.
We would really mourn all these people.
Yeah.
It would feel like a real loss.
That is the tough thing about serialized horror.
Yeah.
Is because you don't want killing off certain people feels like cutting them off in the middle of their storyline.
Yeah.
And that they have more to give. But
that's something, and honestly, as flawed as a lot of American horror story is,
yeah.
Like how much I'm addicted to it, but have very mixed feelings about it.
Yeah.
Is they're really not afraid of doing that.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes to its detriment, where it's like, they're trying to show how random the universe could be and murder could be, that someone with a really interesting storyline just gets killed, and then they just don't honor it in the same way.
Yeah.
Or, and sometimes they surprise you and they do. So it's like, but they have the supernatural element.
And the thing that also helps with American Horror Story versus this is that sort of the tone is more heightened.
Yeah.
The thing is that it's been a double-edged, it's been like a Catch-22 thing where, yes, it's been great how they've actually been showing some grief and some actual drama about these deaths.
Mm-hmm.
But it also means that, like, if we had... two or three important people die in a row that everybody else would just be like on the ground crying for episode. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
So whereas I don't think that would happen in American Horror Story.
Not really. Not anywhere close as much. Everyone's too fucked up in that show.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that I think that I would have, if I was trying to run the show and if I was trying to find the right balance, it would be about just making a bigger ensemble cast, more likable people that are more on the fringes. So that at least you feel something, you know, like, because I don't think, because you could have, you know, maybe given some dimension to Branson or given some dimension to Haley where it's like, yeah, she's annoying, but like, I feel kind of bad for her for this reason. And so I feel
nothing.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, instead of, you know, instead of just being like, well, yes, Haley's dead, which is, it's okay to have a Haley death where it's like, yes, fuck yeah, like we mm-hmm. killed the bitch, but you can't have it all be that.
Yeah.
You know?
So to finish off this email,
yeah.
For my main question, I know we're a while away from the finale and the show might not even get a third season, but where would you like for this show to go in the future? E.g. settings, characters, deaths you'd like to happen. Hopefully Emma's. I wouldn't be upset. I would be kind of like pleasantly surprised if they were able to pull the trigger and
kill Emma. Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly not against killing Emma. I wanted this season to be set at college. I just think that it would change the tone a little bit, make them all be a little bit older, give us new settings.
But if there was a season three, I would also want it to be in a college setting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think I would definitely want that. I think you could cut back a few of the characters when you were at college. You wouldn't necessarily need Kieran. Definitely kill Kieran. You know, just add a few new people. Then you also have a wider cast. You can have a bunch of new teachers and stuff that could die or something like that. So I don't know. I think that would be good. I don't expect us to have a season three.
No, and I really don't.
I don't want to, like, give people... I don't want to bum people out or say that I'm not, like, I just, the ratings are very low. I mean, and I don't know that much about MTV's politics and their way they handle their money and stuff, but it just seems, given the ratings, they are very, very low.
Yeah.
So I don't expect it.
I think this was going to be an experiment for them.
Yeah.
And they tried it, and they, you know, it's not like season one was a runaway hit either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm honestly a little surprised that it isn't more of a thing with young people.
What I'm surprised at is that MTV didn't try to make it more of a thing.
I felt like they did in season one. There was a lot of promotion using Bella Thorne and stuff.
Yeah, I don't understand why season two, they like gave up on it before it started.
Yeah, that does, it does feel like they did, didn't
it? Because it started 11 on a Monday. Yeah. Like,
And it really, there was nowhere near as much promotion. Like, I remember, like, I wasn't necessarily even going to watch the show, but I couldn't get away from the promotion for season one. Whereas in season two, even though I was doing this podcast, I got pretty far without even seeing the trailers. You know, like...
Yeah, I saw nothing.
Yeah,
So, I don't know. They're, it's just kind of unfortunate, but that this is... Yeah. This is kind of what the TV landscape is looking like, because there are so many things that are drawing people's attention away, and so many people who would be the target demo for this show, they're not even watching TV as much anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not criticizing that. People do what they want to do. I think YouTube is great, and I spend a lot of time on there myself. But because everyone's attention is so pulled away, it's very hard to get people to watch anything.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the problem, I honestly think the name recognition hurt it potentially more than it helped it.
Interesting.
Because I think it's one of those things where if you take the name recognition, but then you add it to the a name recognition that the people who like the original name dislike. So when you have things like, oh, I like Scream, but a lot of people who like Scream would not like MTV.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is a stupid MTV thing aimed at the young generation. I'm not going to watch this millennial bullshit. And... You know, so I don't know. It's
what was the movie that we went to see when we saw the Dead of Summer trailer before the movie?
I don't know. It was probably Civil War and The Nice Guys or something.
I think it was probably The Nice Guys. That was
the
it wasn't Finding Dory. I can tell you that.
Well, that's the thing is, I feel like Dead of Summer, without having the name recognition. So what its name recognition is? Oh, it's Freeform's new horror show.
Yeah.
And so if you like Freeform, you'll probably check this out. You want something Freeform-y?
But Freeform is new in and of itself.
Yeah,
as like,
but it's
trying
still,
to restart its legacy from
ABC
Family. Yeah,
but it's still basically ABC Family with a new name.
No, I know. But that's the thing. Like, it doesn't have that much name recognition.
Yeah.
So they relied on the premise.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe Scream could have done that.
Yeah, I don't know. It felt like... It really does remind me of, because I also do a podcast in Girl Meets World, and it's like, okay, you use the name recognition of Boy Meets World, which a lot of people love, but the people who love that hear it's on Disney and are like, hell no. You know, like,
yeah,
you know,
they won't watch it.
And I think it's a very similar thing. It's like Scream plus MTV doesn't
work. I get that.
Work.
No, I definitely get that. Do you want to read this tweet?
Yeah. All right. So we have a tweet from @Connor64Link. Great episode. I don't even know what to believe anymore. They're really throwing Gustavo in our face. Really hope it's not him. It'd be way too obvious. I'm so proud of Noah, but now he can die. Why didn't he just keep it in his pants?
What the pants want, or what the pants want.
Oh. All right. Well, so, again, I definitely hope it's not mainly Gustavo.
Yeah.
But... If he's doing something shady, I'm not totally against that.
I'm fine with him doing shady shit.
Yeah.
I hope Zoe... I know I'm like a big proponent of her being shady as a theory, murdery theory. Doesn't mean I actually want that to happen. But I feel like they're just balancing a fine line where it would be like surprising while not being surprising.
Now, my question was, I asked when we were watching the episode, could Haley's boyfriend be Kieran? And that Haley would definitely be, you know, into the idea of, like, him cheating on
Emma's boyfriend.
Yeah, and, like, if he's the killer, would that make any sense? I mean, timing-wise, it's a little bit off, but it's not so off that it's impossible.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm not necessarily like, yes, that's definitely who it is, but I'm also not letting go of Kieran as a suspect at all.
I hope Kieran's up to something.
Yeah, so he can be gone.
I don't just want him to be murdered. I want him to have some agency, preferably as a murderer.
Yeah, I just think, like, yes, it wouldn't surprise me, which is why I want there to be multiple killers, so maybe somebody else can surprise me. Mm-hmm. But I would like it to be him, because I'd be interested in seeing that actor do something else. I'd be interested in losing that character. And it just makes sense, you know?
I'm with you.
Yeah.
So, with that,
thank you guys for listening. Please, again, remember to check us out on iTunes and review us there. That'd be a big help. Help us connect with more people. And scream you later.
Scream you later, because we still can't think of something better.
We're really great at this. Bye, guys.
Bye.